netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX Guide Podcast. I'm Mike Seymour. Well, this week we're going to talk to a couple of old friends. Jake Parker, a bit of a Flame legend from way back. Any of you on Flame News will know him from, since the first ever Flame News. Also, we're talking to Michael Rizuka. Now, Michael's post manager at CBS Boston and the senior smoke artist there. Both Jake and Michael are doing masterclasses for Autodesk this year, before this year's NAB. I guess most of you would know, the last 3 years we've done our own FX Guide live events in Vegas, and we just decided this year we didn't want to do them for one really, really good reason. While they've been a blast and we've covered an enormous amount of material, we've basically got to a point where we decided we'd try and do something different. And what that was, you know, came down to is we can talk to maybe a couple of hundred people in Vegas. So we thought, well, why not do it on the web? Why not actually sort of broadcast from Vegas and try and hit everybody worldwide? We've got a lot of people that listen to us in India and China and places outside the USA, and wouldn't it be sort of fun for those people to be able to participate? So we went down a different path, and we're setting up a recording studio in Vegas, and we're doing a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, just tons of it. We've been working on it for months. But one of the things we're not doing is the live events, which, quite frankly, are a heck of a lot of work. For those of you that have either been to the live events or are interested in our live events, all the material, and we covered a huge amount of stuff, all three DVDs covering the three different events we did, are now going to be available to buy. The last one is coming online within the next week or two. And so we've covered all that sort of stuff. We feel really good about it. And when we said to Autodesk that we weren't going to do it, they were left with a kind of a, you know, what do we do? Do we fill that gap or what? And they decided to put on their own masterclasses. Now, their masterclasses are a bit different from ours, but hey, Jake and Michael are really good friends of ours, and we wish them all the best, and certainly I'm going to turn up and listen to what they have to say. Their events are a bit different to an FX Guide live event. There's a couple of hours on Flame in the morning and a couple of hours on Smoke in the afternoon, and this is all April 23rd, I think, in Vegas. So if you want to go along, that'd be great. And what we've done is John's had a brief chat to both Jake and Michael about what they're going to be doing at the Vegas event and finding out what they're going to be covering and stuff so that you can have a listen. And as I said, FX Guide will be doing a huge amount of stuff, which we'll be announcing at the beginning of April. And then right through NAB, every day we'll be doing live broadcasting, both video and audio, and trying to, you know, see if we could work a bit better doing it to a wider audience. So over to you, John, and hi to Jake and Michael, and good luck, guys.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
Before we dive into what you're going to cover at the masterclasses, why don't we get a little background about you guys, find out what kind of work you do and your experience. Jake, we'll start with you.
At Crash and Sue's, primarily we're doing TV commercials, and that's pretty much what I've done, you know, since I've been on Flame. Before I was involved in Flame, I worked for a traditional animation studio and kind of worked in all the facets of production. But the last few years there, I was doing camera work, running a motion control boom arm camera, and also an animation stand. Then I ended up at Lam & Company in Minneapolis doing Flame, and they were one of the first, if not the first, commercial license of Flame in the world.
Yeah, you were essentially one of the, not founders, but you were definitely one of the charter members of Flame News, right?
One of the old-timers, for sure.
That's another term for it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I like to not use that one, but it is bandied about. But at any rate, I worked at Lam & Company for probably, I'm trying to think, I think it was about 7 or 8 years, maybe 7 years, mm-hmm. And went to Pixel Farm in Minneapolis for a year, and then ended up at Crash and Sue's, which is where I'm at now.
Great, and Michael, what about you?
Well, I've actually got my start actually in photography way back when. Actually, my father was a lithographer, and for those who don't know, that's essentially before there was Photoshop, we did everything by hand. So it was kind of interesting to see where the industry has evolved from. But I've been fortunate to have worked in a lot of different ends of the industry, everything from post houses to television networks, and even done some work from a corporate in-house standpoint. But currently, I've been working on the broadcast side of the business, working for CBS Corporation, and currently overseeing the post-production of several stations out here on the East Coast.
You've had the opportunity as well to do some training and such for people, right? So I'm sure that's helpful in prepping for this masterclass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. We actually, through Autodesk, we've had some great opportunities with smoke artists all over the world. Actually, a couple years ago, we did a tour through the whole Asia-Pacific region, which was just a great chance to exchange ideas and perspectives with other artists in the industry. So, yeah.
Well, so after 3 years of doing FX Guide Live at NAB, the FX Guide crew is not involved in this year's event, as we've talked about. So Autodesk took over organizing this event. But Michael, you were one of our guest speakers last year, a great addition. But why the hell are you doing it again? It's just so much worse.
You have to be crazy, right? I mean, it's great that Autodesk is continuing this user group. You know, last year was the first time anything really had been done that directly addressed smoke. In the past, it always had been Flame and Inferno, et cetera. But, you know, there's such a diverse tool set in the smoke software, and all the software for that matter. And so there's just a lot to dive into, and we're hoping to take it to the next level.
So, Jake, why don't we talk a little bit about the specifics of what you're going to be showing? We're going to be covering in the event. I mean, you're going to kind of cover day-to-day tips or, you know, what's your plan?
The way I'm going to approach it, I'm going to go over a project that I finished recently. It's basically a project that involved a blue screen shoot with a moving camera, and then I... did some 3D camera tracking on each of the shots there, placed the live action from the live shoot into a virtual scene, added particle animation, be covering depth of field and dealing with depth of field in that situation. A couple of expressions that particle functions that I came up with to help control the environment, essentially.
Well, that's neat. Well, last year, or a couple of years ago, and on the website, we showed one of your expressions, the camera dad expression, which was really quite interesting. I'm a huge fan of expressions.
Yeah, actually, I'll be using that in my demo this year again, a slightly different application, but it's one of those things that as you work in the software, you find many uses for things in ways that you don't expect.
Yeah, exactly. Michael, what about you? What are you kind of targeting for the event?
We're going to be hitting on a lot of different things. Most of us know the strength of smoke is in its versatility, and there's a lot of ways to achieve the same outcome. And I think across all ends of the industry, you know, there's it's not just the quality that we're looking for, but often it's the speed and the flexibility of getting to that point. We want to look at smoke not only as an editing platform, but also expand its capability as a compositor, even building whole graphics packages on the smokes and capitalizing on the integration of multiple systems and various artists. We're going to cover a lot of different things. I think we're going to focus a lot on tips and tricks and not just the shortcuts and the time savers that we're all used to, but actually using tools in different ways than we're used to or even different from how they might have been intended. For instance, taking the time estimation tool and combining it with the text module to create some really interesting text effects that are pretty quick turnaround. So it's actually, we're trying to look at it from what is this tool actually doing and how can we use that technical understanding to our advantage.
So stuff that you can definitely use in day-to-day as well, some stuff.
I'm doing the smoke session with C.E. Rahm, a very talented artist out of Riot in Atlanta. We're both going to be showing some different techniques for color grading, especially when working with footage that isn't necessarily of the best quality. We've all been there before, but even clips that maybe have already been treated that we don't have the clip history for or are from a different transfer or even an entirely different project, instead of just sending it back to the lab, there are some ways to reverse the treatment. We can actually get the desired look we want in a matter of minutes and have it match up with the other shots in the piece. So we'll also be taking some footage and doing some scan replacements, and CE's got a great example of replication and cloning of additional people in a shot to create a fuller image. So it's pretty seamless. So we'll be doing a lot of things like that, you know, some oohs and ahs, but a lot of it's focused on just coming up with different ways of looking at the system and what it's actually doing.
I want to see that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I remember last year looking at the watching your session on audio. I'm like, wow, there are a lot of audio tools that we actually have in Flame that I could be using after watching your presentation, Michael.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be hitting audio again. Obviously, a lot of people don't use the audio tools in Smoke that often because a lot of places just post their audio out of house. But there are some great tools there that can be used even when you're in the session. You got a client looking over your shoulder and you've just created effect that, boy, if only you had the sound effect now, you probably could sell them on it a little bit better. And there's some just really neat, time warp and things like that, and some of the other effects that you can do to manipulate audio or cut down music tracks to make them fit into the spot that you're working on, what have you. And it might just be rough and they might redo it in post, or they might not. They might take your track and actually use it in the mix. So there are definitely some things you can do, and we'll be touching on some of that too.
Well, that should be quite interesting. Moving back to the effects session, I just want to take a moment to say that there's a second guest speaker, and that's Philippe Suero, a.k.a. Sting, as we like to call him. Philippe has taken part in the Effects Guide Live events in the past, but now Philippe is actually working for Autodesk as a customer solutions manager and the workflow architecture, and Philippe will be giving attendees a sneak peek into some upcoming features in Inferno, Flame, and Flint. Now, Jake, what I find interesting about your presentation is actually you developed this as an actual job. I mean, you had a task to accomplish. A client brought you a job, and you had to accomplish something, and you're going to walk everyone through how you tackled that job. And I find that really interesting.
Yeah, it ended up utilizing a lot of different aspects of the software, but what I hope to demonstrate is just different ways of tackling a problem. And I think that's one of the strengths and always has been one of the strengths of the Flame software is its versatility and the different ways you can utilize the different tools. I think, as Michael alluded to, that often the tools are designed, they're designed by software engineers, software designers, but they don't necessarily envision how those tools are ultimately going to be used. And that's kind of fun because you end up using like the time warp function to do an effect that it wasn't designed to do. But there's any number of ways of solving a problem just because of the versatility of the tools. They're not so specific that you can't apply them to different applications.
Yeah, I really think that's one of the interesting things about watching other artists demo or train, seeing their approaches to a problem and attacking it in a way that maybe I never would have considered doing. You mentioned the software development process a bit, or you mentioned the software engineers a bit. I know you've been involved in beta over the years, as have I. How has that helped you as an artist?
I've really enjoyed being on the beta program. I mean, from the beginning, the early versions of software essentially were beta, although they weren't officially called that. As users, I think it's important and I think that's one of the wonderful things about the way Discreet and now Autodesk has treated the development of the software, realizing that ultimately the users are the people who need to use it. And to get feedback from them is very important because we're working under situations with clients looking over our shoulders and to make sure that buttons function correctly, that they're not moved to inconvenient places, that different features work the way other features, there's just all kinds of things that come up in the development of the software that I think it's important for them to get user feedback, and I think it's hats off to them for continuing that program.
So what do you think one of your top contributions during the beta process over the years would be?
I don't know. I remember sending in a tip or a suggestion years and years ago for saving brush settings in Paint. And I remember drawing... I remember drawing up a little diagram and saying, you know, maybe you could have an edit button on one end and blow, and sure enough, it actually was implemented. So I was kind of, I sort of felt like I had a hand in that.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, Jake, that's way more impressive than one of my simple but nice personal suggestions I made that got implemented, which was moving the transparency channel in the channel editor up out of material.
Oh, man, that was a blessing.
Yeah, moving it right under image.
That was excellent.
Yeah, it was excellent, except for the fact that it broke every single expression I had for transparency. But they did fix that eventually. Getting back to the masterclasses, what you're going to be covering during the masterclass, is that specific to the current releases, or will it be useful for those who have older releases as well?
Well, on our end, I think you definitely, it doesn't matter what version of software you're on. Obviously, the software has evolved quite a bit over the last couple of years especially, but yeah, I mean, it's across the board. I mean, they're all things that can be done to some extent. And varying degrees. You know, obviously the Keyer has made incredible leaps and bounds over the last couple of years on the newer versions of Smoke, and definitely the Color Warper and things like that. But these are definitely tips and tricks and just some ideas, too, on just how to think about approaching a project. I know we're also going to be showing some specific examples. Both CE and I, we're going to be demonstrating some 3D scenes created from still images. Complete still images and creating completely 3D world environments, doing some image prep and paint, and then animating them in DVE with camera movements and globals. So these are all things that you could do. Obviously, the latest software is always great to have and opens up a couple new worlds for you if you do have it. But I'm going to actually be building elements from a whole graphics package of a sports program, creating different textures in these 3D world environments to create more of a realistic world from out of a completely graphic environment. So yeah, we're definitely going to be showcasing the flexibility of Smoke, and especially its designing on the fly capabilities.
Regarding the version of the software, I don't think it's necessarily software specific. I mean, clearly, since I'm dealing with expressions, in this in my demo, and that's a big part of what I'm going to show. You would need software that's recent enough to contain the expression functionality, but I'm not. Those have been out for I don't know what 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been out for a while.
So you know, so that's not exactly the most recent. But other than that, you know, it's the particles have been there for you know since very early on, and there's nothing new there that I'm doing. No, I don't think it's version specific in any way.
After the sessions that you're holding, of course, is the annual discrete users group meeting. And Jake, you've been to a number of those, of course. What are you kind of looking forward to at the users group meeting, seeing and checking out?
Well, yeah, well, it's always fun to see the new toys demoed. You know, everybody goes to see that and to see what's coming up and hopes to get pleasantly surprised by things. And usually it is. Usually there is a good surprise. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to see some information maybe suggesting that HDR imagery may be supported in the near future. But we're always looking to push the envelope of what Flame can do. So and that's one area where you know, clearly people are going to be, or people are doing more and more work with HDR imagery. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that I'd love to see.
Michael, what do you see, or what would you end up liking to see at the user group meeting, or even what would you like to see in the software in the next several years? Where would you like to see it go, I guess?
In the software, I mean, obviously, the future is real time. Being able to, it would be nice to see render be a word of the past, but obviously it's going to be a long time before that happens, just from a hardware standpoint. But it's definitely evolving in the depth and versatility of the software. A lot of people, depending on your background, if you come from an old school linear world, or if you come from other software packages, editing pack softwares, you can definitely see the trend. Some people like working in Timeline versus working in a DVE module. I think this technology just becomes deeper and deeper, allowing the artist to work in whatever way he or she would like to. And I think that tends to be a trend that they're following a lot, which is, you know, what Autodesk back in the day always preached. It was sort of the user-friendly, what does the user want out of it? And I think that's why a lot of artists have gravitated towards it.
Yeah, from the early days of Discrete, they've just been incredibly user-focused. And the user group meeting is definitely one of the largest, if not the largest, user group event at NAB. So I'll be looking forward to that as well. The technology demos are always fun. And good luck to you guys with the masterclass event this year. Jeff, Mike, and I all know firsthand the kind of effort it takes to prepare material for that event. So good luck, and thanks for getting us up to speed on the event today.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be jam-packed with information, and it's a great way to lead right into the user group, too. So it'll be a lot of fun. Love to see people out there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thanks for that, Jake and Michael, and I'm certainly looking forward to going to the event in Vegas in April. In fact, actually, it's the day before my birthday. Anyway, we're also going to be doing heaps of stuff from Vegas. We're doing lots of training and podcasting, webcasting. We've got some great interviews lined up, so we hope to be able to provide a whole bunch of really good stuff online. And we wish all the best to the guys doing the masterclass, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.